Amen. That was good. You know, this morning I was kept looking in the back for a clock, and I couldn't find one. I said, hey, you know, that's why I said I'm on Ghana time. I don't see a clock. Well, after I was done preaching, I realized there's one right here. I'm a man of great detail, as you can tell. So in order to go on Ghana time tonight, we'll just cover it up again. You know, brother Corey, I've gone through culture shock coming back to America. Man, I like Ghana. You know, I really do, but I'm kind of joking at the same time. Man, we in America, there is so much going on. Amen. And I'm like, good night. Let me figure out where I'm going and where I'm landing and where the next step is. Really, our family came back from Ghana in the village setting. Everything's slow, and you know, it might take me 6 hours to go get my car fixed because I go and I stay with my car while it's being fixed, and I can't do anything else while it's being fixed. And it seemed like everything takes so long, and then I come to America, and it's like, you know, let's set up our schedule. Da 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 da. And I'm like, oh, good night. But I have enjoyed being here once again. I've enjoyed Pastor Corey and Mrs. Corey. Mrs. Nebshield. I've enjoyed being here with y'all and seeing what God is doing. And I want to thank you for your part in what God is, your involvement in our life and what God has done in our lives, through our lives, and what He's going to continue to do. I want to ask you this question tonight. If somebody asks you in America, it's where you are, show me who God is. Your answer is probably like, well, I believe in Him by faith. But even without picking up the Word of God, what's the evidence that we have that God is real? How can I prove to them? How will they know? How can I say to them, I know that heaven is real, that God is real, that Jesus is my friend? What evidence do we have? And I ask that because this is faith promised, missions given. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the evidence of things not seen. It is the substance of things hoped for. That's the verse for tonight. Let's do this. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Of course, this whole chapter is on faith, but I will point out one particular passage. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob and heirs with him, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I love that verse 10. That's a whole sermon in itself. Later on, the Bible tells us that on the foundation of the city, the New Jerusalem, is the names of his sons, grandsons. He looked for a city. (laughs) What's the evidence we have? I'll start with this and I'll pray and we'll get into the message. I think, Brother Patrick, I was with Asaph. Might have been Claude in Germany. We came to a door in the university. Brother Patrick discovered that that's where the greatest opportunity was to win Germans to Christ, because they're at that age where they're searching and they're kind of testing everything they've ever been told. And there was a young lady there, and when we began to talk to her, she said to me, "Prove to me that God is real." And I think the Spirit of God said, and I said to her, "I can't hold God out for you to see him." But I began to tell her stories of my life, of what God had done for me. And I said, "You can believe those stories and you cannot believe those stories, but that's my evidence that God is real." So when the community around us says to us, "Prove it to me," do we have proof? Have we tested our faith? Have we stepped forward enough that our faith has been tested, that God could prove himself so that we have evidence? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, I love the word of God. Lord, I pray tonight that it would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, I pray that you would order our steps in your word. Father, I pray tonight that we would be sanctified by your truth, that we would be made clean through your word. I pray, Father, that you would give us understanding in the wisdom and revelation of Jesus Christ. Father, not for my name's sake, but for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. May I speak that which you would want me to speak. And Father, may all those who have ears to hear what your Spirit would say. Father, I understand not everybody has ears to hear, but I know there are those who do. And I pray that they would hear what you would have to say. I want you right now, where you are, to bow with your heads bowed and eyes closed. Would you just take a moment right where you are and ask God to prepare your heart and to speak to you? Tell God that you are willing to receive what he would teach you tonight. Father, I ask that you do that which I cannot. Father, I'm weak, I'm human, I need your strength. Father, do that which I cannot. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. One day as I was reading through Hebrews, it dawned on me that this verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 11 was kind of putting it in the context of a courtroom where the things that we hope for, the things that we don't see but we believe, is on trial. And that it is only going to be confirmed that those things are true if there is evidence to back up what has been said. In other words, when we go to a courtroom and somebody is being on trial for murder, for example, they will want a testimony if there is somebody available, a witness or multiple. They will want the murder weapon. They will want things that they find at this crime scene. Why? They have to have evidence to make a judgment. And I believe that God set things up in such a way for you and I, as Christians, that you and I, even though God, we can't see Him, even though the Word of God, we believe it by faith, I believe that God sets it up in such a way that if we at any point in our life will step out and get on that journey of faith, that is a journey that's going to be a process all of our lives, starting when we believe in Jesus Christ by faith, but we step out, and it starts out small, but as we step out, as we go, and as God grows our faith, I collect more and more and more evidence that proves not only to me, but then it turns out that because I believe it so strongly, it begins to affect others around me, that God is alive, He's real, He is, what is the right word? In our generation, He's still relevant, thank you, in our generation. But I'm asking us as individuals tonight, do we have that evidence? I'm going to tell you some stories tonight of things that God has done for my family and I. It will tie in some of those stories with what we said this morning. God asks you, some of them will show the example of you give first and then God gives back. I don't tell these stories tonight to try to look like anybody or something. I tell these stories tonight because it's evidence. I tell these stories tonight because I remember reading through Hudson Taylor's autobiography and being overwhelmed not with Hudson Taylor, but with the God of Hudson Taylor. And God put me on a journey to say, I want others to know that the God of Hudson Taylor is the same yesterday and today and forever. And that the God of Hudson Taylor was not a respecter of persons. He did not find Hudson Taylor and be like, I just like this guy. I'm going to do all this for this guy. I believe, Brother Corey, that God has a plan for the redemption of man. And He is looking for others, for men, who are willing to get into His plan. In other words, my personal opinion is, He did not find Abraham and say, oh, what a good guy Abraham is. I want to see how I can use him. God had a plan for the redemption of man, and He said, who is willing to get involved in my plan? And He found a man of faith named Abraham. And Abraham got in God's plan. God began to show this to me as He was using some things to frankly humble me. And He began to say, hey, Michael Williams, it's not about God's plan for Michael Williams. It's about God's plan for the redemption of man. Michael Williams, are you willing to get involved in my plan? Stop emphasizing God's will for me. And say, what is God's will for the world? God, help me to get involved in it. So in 2012, God said, do you believe that God can still do today the same things He did in the Bible, in Hudson Taylor's life? Do you believe it? I think I prayed something like this, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. But here is what God taught me, and I'm going to go very practical through a few simple steps and then tell some stories in between. But number one, I want us to understand that faith is not leaping off of a cliff, as I said this morning, without God knowing God told me to do it. Okay? I'm not talking about foolishness where we just say, hey, I think God's got to be involved in this. Let's just go. Faith is believing in the promises of God. If God said it, I can believe it. And so faith is believing in the promise of God, not stepping off a blind cliff. You know, Gideon, and we fault him, but I don't, but many people do. But Gideon did not go against innumerable multitudes with 300 men until he was absolutely sure it was God that said, go and do it. But when he stood in the midst of hundreds of thousands with 300 men, he didn't turn back because he knew God said, do it. It is not a blind leap of faith. It is believing in the promises of God and stepping out on God's promises. It is stepping out on God's promises. What is God? What are God's promises? God says, give and it shall be given unto you. God says, my God, and the context is missions in Philippians, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches. That is not a promise to any Christian anywhere, anytime. It is a promise to those churches. It was a promise to those churches who got involved in God's plan for the redemption of man and sent out money to help Paul plant churches. And God said, hey, I'll take care of you because you're taking helping me. You've fallen into my plan for the redemption of man. It is not just jumping off a cliff. It is putting your faith in the promises of God. But living by faith is growing. It is moving forward in our Christian life. The Bible tells us that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found on the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So faith is moving forward, stepping out on the promises of God, and growing through the trial of that faith. It is growing through the trial of that faith. What am I saying? That I'm saying that we don't get to this end of faith and life and watch God do great and mighty things just because we just have all of a sudden have all this faith. It is when we are young as a Christian or we start to grow as a Christian, we're down on this side and we're saying, God, I'm reading your word and your word says, give and it shall be given. And you said 17, right? A young 17-year-old man steps out and says, God, I can't see it. I don't know for sure, but your word says it. And so, God, I will give and I will allow you. I will see if what you say is true. And he steps out. He doesn't yet at this point in his life have the evidence all bottled up that says, here's my evidence that God is real. Unless he has a father and a mother, a church, grandparents that have faith and he has seen the testimony of that faith. The evidence that I had as a young man that God was real, that God was true, and it was one of the testimonies I gave this young lady in Germany. I said, when I was a small boy, my dad was a pastor of a small church. He had worked for 1 year sawing logs. He did that before going through Bible college. He sawed logs. That was what his family had done for a long time in Upper Michigan. And he did it for 1 year and said, I just believe God wants me to get all in. I remember as a young child, I don't know how old I was, 5, 6, 7, I don't remember that. I just remember being fairly young. I can still see the table today that we used to sit around when we'd eat our evening meal. I can see the walls around us that had drywall but no paint. I can see the furniture that was falling apart. I can see the wood floors that had slivers all over because they had never had any flooring put down. We lived very, very meagerly. I can remember sitting around that table and my dad praying something like this. We had no clue what was going on in this way until my dad prayed and he said, Father, I know. Father, you know that this meal is all the food we have. And God,
I want my children to know that you're God. I want them to see that you can provide. We need you to give us food. I can still remember in my mind that before we were done eating, there was a knock at the door. I don't remember what child it was went to the door. Or what, I just remember when I got to the door, I looked out and there was a porch full of groceries. And I began my life of faith with evidence that God is real. That's one of the stories I told that young lady. I can't say, here's God, he's like my little genie or something. I can't say, there he is up there on the throne. But here's my evidence. That worked in my heart. I went on tour and I began to sing in Bible college. I had very little money on tour because I had stopped working, paid my last school bill, went on tour. I had enough money, a little bit of money, and we were traveling for some weeks. And you know, the most important thing to a young man traveling in another van with a whole bunch of other young men is like soap and deodorant and shampoo and toothpaste and all those things. I had a little supplies left, and I had about $20 left. We went to a church, and there was a missionary from Australia there. And God said to me, give your money to that man. Of course, as we do, you begin to rationalize. You know, God, I'm not going to be a very good example for the college if I'm a smelly pig, you know. I'm not going to be a very good friend to be around in the car if I stink. But I had some evidence that God would take care of me. I went over to that man and gave him my money. The next morning, me and another young man from our tour group were staying with an elderly lady and her son. She said at the breakfast table, before you boys go, God has put on my heart to give you a little something before you go. And she gave us each $40. The same summer on tour, it happened again. And again, God gave it back to me. I remember one of the guys saying, man, Mike, wherever you stay, I want to stay. I had more evidence. I could tell you stories, a lot of stories about deputation and growing in faith and growing in faith and growing in faith and giving out and giving out. I remember a particular time when I were on the mission field and we're building a village church and we've leveled the ground, we've poured the footers, we've put up the roof, and we're now trying to lay the floor, and we come to the end of our supplies, end of our money, and we've got about $2,000 worth of work to do. I remember going home and saying to my wife, Brooke, we need about $2,000 more to finish that floor. And that's about what we've got in the bank. I believe God wants us to give it. My wife has always said, if you think God wants it, you do it. Thankful for a good wife. You know, that meant we didn't have money for food. It meant we emptied it out. Why? Because I had some evidence. And that was going to help me to now believe in the promise of God that it give and it shall be given unto you. I gave that money. We poured the floor. We literally had nothing. And Brother Corey, that Sunday, one of our church ladies in Ghana brought a huge, huge thing of plantains. And she said, Pastor,
I don't have any money, but this is my tithe. I want you and your family to have these plantains. My wife remembers, I think Grant would remember, for about 1 week we ate plantains. Boiled, fried, whatever way we could mash, we ate plantains. Am I saying that we got all kinds, you know, $4,000? No. But my God supplied all of my need according to his riches. And now I had more evidence that God is real. More stories that I could say, hey, yes, I can prove to you that God is real. Not just because I think he's real, but I've got evidence that God is real. And therefore, if I tell you that heaven is real, I believe it's real because I know God is real and God has kept his promise according to his word. So his word must be true and therefore I can count on his word. We came back. We went to Germany, came back from Germany. I had literally said at that time to my dad, I don't want to go anywhere else. I don't want to travel. I don't want to do anything. Let me just stay here and be a part of your church for a little while. I'm tired. I'm weary. I was broken. Just a little few weeks later, God said, hey, go back to Ghana. I said, God, I don't want to do that. I mean, my wife's already gone to Germany, back to the Africa, back to U.S., Germany, back to the U.S., and now I'm going to say go back to Africa again. But I'm willing if I know it's you. God, I won't tell that story. God made it very clear. Go back to Ghana. We had 40% of our support. We had lost 60% over through those transitions. My logic mind said, I've got to go on travel and I've got to raise the rest of that 60%. But it was the same time God was working with me about modeling a mission after Hudson Taylor's China Inland Mission. I said to God, God, if you're telling me to go and you say to go now, I will go and I will trust you. But you know what? That was somewhere in here. How did I get there? It started way over here. As a little boy. As a little boy, watching my parents' faith and watching God, I had evidence. And then I stepped out, not knowing where I land. The Bible says that Abraham stepped out, not knowing where he went. He didn't even know where God was sending him. He just knew God said, go. So he stepped out by faith. And by faith, it is not jumping off a cliff, but it's saying, I can't see where my foot is going to land. But God said it's going to land on solid ground. So I trust him because I know that he's true, that his word is true. And you step out and you go, woohoo! God is true. God is real. It worked. Woo! God is true. He's still alive. Woo! God is true. He's still alive. And every time it's evidence, 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 and God continues to go. And so we had about 40% of our support. God said to go. God gave us a few meetings. It wasn't a lot. We had meetings for about a month or a month and a half or something like that. I said, God, it seems like you gave us these meetings. At the end of these meetings, we'll go to Ghana if that's what you say. So God, either give me more meetings or else give me the money to go. Boom. Some man I knew from before called me and said, hey, how's your meetings going? And I said, well, I've got meetings till the end of, I think it was the end of October. He said, good, I'll fill November and December for you. So I said, okay, God, is it January? I went on the internet. How much plane tickets one way for my family to get to Ghana? About $5,000. I said, God, you give me $5,000 and I'll book the tickets for January. Brother Corey, within 2 weeks, I had $5,000 in my hands. And I said, God, I'm going to Africa with 40% of the support that I need. Oh, God, I have evidence. Therefore, I know that my feet are going to land on solid ground. Woohoo! God is real. God is alive. God has answered me. He's not dead. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. Don't tell me my God is not alive and well and real in my life. We went to church, brother. We went to Ghana, brother Corey. I had about enough money by the time we got going. People gave us love offerings, knew we were leaving soon. They gave us some love offerings. I had about $3,000. I had to get a house. I had to get furniture for that house. I could have sent out letters and said this is what I'm doing, but I wanted to know that God could do it, that all I had to do was go before my Father and God would tell man, this is what I want you to do. So we got to Ghana, and the way it works in Ghana is you have to rent a house for 2 years, but not a 2-year contract and pay by month. It's 2 years, all the money up front. And so I had about enough money for 1 year's rent. But they always do 2 or 3 years. I had no money for house, for furniture. Brother Corey, I had sold my Matthews bow just to get the money I had. Yeah. I probably did cry. I don't remember, but I probably did. That was my, man, I love that thing. I got to Ghana, and there was a house. The missionary had been there and left, gone back to another foreign country. And he said, you can move in for 1 year's rent. And you can pay me for the furniture as you have the money. Went to Ghana with 40% support. Brother Patrick, when I went back at the end of the year to do my taxes, I discovered that more money came in that year per month than I had ever made on 100% of my support. There was one man in North Carolina I have never met to this day. Somehow, some way, he heard about us. Sent us a check. Said, God put it on my heart to give you this money. Other people out of the blue. I had a friend I worked with in Bible college. I had not heard of him in over 10 years. My family's in a situation. The house we were staying in, the septic got full, and it got unsanitary full. And I thought, what am I going to do? I need to get my family out of here, but I have no money. You know that all of a sudden I got a note from that man's wife that said, I don't know if you remember us, but we went to Bible school with you. We just want to send your family a little extra money to go and get away for a day or two. I sent my family to a resort while I fixed the sewer. Over and over. When we went back, we had no money for a container. No money for anything like that. We just packed the suitcases and left, sold everything, gave it away, whatever. Put it, packed the suitcase, except for we put 6 barrels in my in-law's house. And I said, I hope someday I'll have the money to send this stuff to Ghana. It was like toys and blowguns for my boys to shoot lizards and that kind of stuff. It was not needs, but it was stuff we really wanted if we could get it. Almost 1 year went by. I didn't have any money to ship those things. We found out about a church. I had been teaching the Bible college in Ghana in 2006, 7, and 8. And there was a Liberian man and his wife that had gone back to Liberia. By faith, they had been gone through some atrocities in the war there. They went back to start a church in Liberia. I found out that they needed a year's rent for their church or they were about to lose it. I mean, it was like crunch time. I had about $600 in the bank. I was trying to get money enough to ship our barrels. It was like $900. I went to my wife and I said, I think God wants us to help this church. It's much more important than our things. We gave the $600. Within a few weeks, I got a phone call from America. And this guy said, hey, this is so-and-so. I'm in Chicago at the shipping yard. What address do you want me to send these barrels to you in Ghana to? Thank you, Father. I literally, and you can find a lot of the stories on our website, but hundreds. I'll tell you one more to close. We do a prayer camp every year in Ghana. And at that prayer camp, we invite people to come in. They come in from, we've had them come from Ivory Coast, Nigeria, Ghana, preachers, laymen, whatever. And my goal with prayer camp was to get men away from the hustle and bustle and spend time just focused, zeroed in on God. We pay for everything. If they want a certain nice room, they have to pay for it, but other than that, we pay for everything. It costs us thousands of dollars every year. There was one year that the money just wasn't coming in. I had negotiated with the hotel, the resort where we're going to have the conference at. They gave me an amazing deal. I told them at the beginning, look, I don't have the money, but I believe God wants us to do this. He'll provide the money. Can you be patient a little bit? Of course. We get a month away, and I still have no money. I went back to that resort, and I said, I still don't have any money, but I believe God's going to provide it. That man said, Pastor Mike, if you said God wants it, God will give you the money. We believe it. I walked out and I looked up to heaven and I said, God, you heard the man. Don't let me down. God, his faith is going to depend on whether you come through or not. We got to 1 week before. I still had no money. A man that was helping me at the time in Ghana said to me, Brother Mike, what's plan B? I said, there ain't no plan B. Within days before prayer camp, I got a message from my mom. Somebody brought by two checks for $5,000. What do you want us to do with them? I said, send them quick. If you ask me tonight what evidence I have, there's my evidence. Why am I preaching this sermon tonight? Well, because God told me to, but I think the reason he told me to is because that's what faith promise can do for you. It's giving to God, not out of your abundance, although it might be. It's giving God out of what you have what he asks of you. I had an uncle that has lots of money, and he said to me, Mike, what's living by faith for me? I said, I don't know. You have to ask God. I can't tell you that. I know what he's told me. But where's the evidence? It's a journey of faith in this life. Our faith is tested. When it got down to a few days, I was wondering, I'm thinking, like, where's the Chase National Bank loan app, right? You know, but God is still alive. He's still on the throne. He's looking for people to get involved in his plan for the redemption of man. And he just wants you to say, God, here's the promise. God, what do you want me to do? Okay, God, I'll step out on your promise. And Daddy and Mommy, it may be that God calls your son. And he needs to have that evidence. that God is real. These young people in the church, they need a church that knows and proves that God is real. So when they grow up and they're tested, their faith is tested, they don't falter because they have evidence that God is real. It's not a religion to them. It's not just emotion we go through. This is real. God is real. He's alive, and I know He is. I watched it. It was recently that I was with my son somewhere, and we were talking to some other men. And some men said something, my oldest son, some men said something, and it was adverse to what God has showed us by faith. And Brother Corey, it thrilled my heart that my son spoke up and said, "That's not the way I've seen it." Because Brother Patrick, I know that my son has faith now. He's seen God. How about us? In the evidence, in the community in which we live, where's our evidence? Let's trust God, believe in the promises of God, and say like Abraham, I don't have to know where I'm going. I just got to know God said to go. And I'm willing because I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. I'm not living here. It's not about here. It's about eternity. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Father in heaven, I hope that I've adequately portrayed your truth. Very simple. But Father, let us prove, let us have evidence in our daily lives for our families, for our church, for the world around us, that you are real, that you're alive, that you're still the same as you are. Father, the same God that parted the Red Sea is our God. Father, we may not see a living sea part, but Father, you can do miracles that are no less awesome in our lives. Lord, you've done so much for my family and I. I know you've done for much for many of these people here as they've grown in their faith by Faith Promise Missions Giving in many other areas. We have seasoned people here. Father, I pray that we would continue tonight to ask ourselves, is there evidence in my life that God is real?